I ask you now to turn with me in your Bible to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. We've been working our way together through the Gospel of Luke. This morning we want to consider together how to handle temptation. Again, our text this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. Now we're beginning with verse 1. Let's hear God's word. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It's written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it's been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they'll bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. The grass withers, the flower fades. The word of our God shall stand forever. Let's pray together. Lord in heaven, we're thankful. We're thankful that we can come to your word and be refreshed by it and be renewed by it, that here is something faithful and true. We hear so much during the course of a week. We really don't know if it's true. We know everyone has their own perspective, their own ideas, their own agenda. But here this morning, we come to your word so clear, so faithful, so certain, so true. Lord, help us to hear well and to understand well and to take it to heart and may this be something we can use this week, Lord. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You ever have a dream? You know, like you're sleeping at night and you have a dream. Or maybe you wake up in the morning. Your alarm clock goes off and you hit your snooze button. And you fall back asleep. And you have one of those dreams. You dream you're in school. And in this dream, you realize that you've got a test coming up. Maybe in your dream you're in high school or maybe you're in college, but in this dream you suddenly realize you've got a test, a big exam next period, like in 5 minutes, and you suddenly realize you're not ready. You're completely unprepared. You haven't studied. In fact, in this dream you suddenly realize you don't even know what the test is on. You realize you haven't even been going to class all semester. That's actually a very common dream. A lot of people have this dream or nightmare. Maybe you're not in school. Maybe you're not being tested in school, but maybe you're at work. Maybe you're giving a presentation. Maybe you have to stand up. You're speaking in public. Or maybe you've got to perform in some way, but it comes in different forms, but it's all the same general dream, the same nightmare that all of a sudden you're being examined, you're being tested, you've got to perform, you've got to speak in public, and you are so not ready. You know, maybe in your dream, you're on American Idol, okay? And you're stepping up to the microphone and you're about to sing, and all of a sudden it occurs to you, you don't remember the words. And then you realize you don't even know what song you're supposed to sing. And you don't know how to play guitar. And you're wearing pajamas. Right? These dreams are very, very common. The sense that you're in front of people, you're being examined, or you got to perform, and all of a sudden you realize you are totally unprepared. Thankfully, most of the time you wake up and it's just a dream. But things like this do sometimes happen in life. Sometimes in life we are tested and we are tempted and we have to perform. And all too often we aren't ready. We're unprepared. Temptation comes along and we just aren't ready. Last week we talked about all kinds of temptations. The temptation to eat too much or to eat something you shouldn't eat. Or to drink too much, or to say something, to blurt out something you shouldn't say, or the temptation to give in to your feelings, or the temptation to push people away and keep them at a distance when you shouldn't, or the temptation to put your job above your family, or to just focus on yourself above the Lord. There's all kinds of temptations. We talked about a lot of them last week. But often these temptations catch us off guard. They come along and we're totally unprepared. We're just not ready. The good news, remember we're calling this series the good news of God according to Luke. The good news is, in our passage this morning, Jesus shows us how to handle temptation. He shows you how to prepare yourself. He shows us how to get ready. First thing we see this morning, you need to trust in the fact that Jesus has overcome temptation for us. Okay? Temptation's gonna come. At the most unlikely or unexpected moment, it's going to come. And when it does, you need to be ready by trusting the fact that Jesus has already overcome temptation for you. Okay, look with me at our text this morning. Beginning with verse 1, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan. Okay, remember, he was baptized at the Jordan River. Okay, the Holy Spirit came down on him like a dove. So now, full of the Holy Spirit, he comes from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, okay, into a desolate wilderness area for 40 days being tempted by the devil. Okay, so Jesus is baptized, the Holy Spirit comes on him like a dove, and then the Spirit leads Jesus out into the wilderness. Okay, for 40 days, Jesus does not eat any food. He's fasting, which means he's only drinking water, but he's not eating, so he can focus entirely on the Lord. And then at the conclusion of these 40 days, okay, he's being tempted. Now, we looked at this last week. Okay? If some of you are thinking this sounds strangely familiar, we spent the whole morning on this last Sunday. And if you weren't with us last Sunday, I just encourage you to go online and listen to that message, because I'm not going to be able to repeat everything we looked at last week. But just very briefly, let me say this. Luke, who wrote this, Luke tells us that the first human being, okay, Adam, the first man, that in some ways Adam was the Son of God. Okay, that comes at the end of Luke chapter 3. It's at the very end of the genealogy of Jesus. Luke begins with Jesus and traces Jesus' genealogy all the way back to Adam. And then he says, Adam was the Son of God. What does he mean, Adam was the Son of God? Well, he was the Son of God in the sense that he came from God. God made Adam. God created him out of the dirt. But also, God took Adam and put him in the garden and said, here, you're in charge of this. And that's the way a father would treat a son in the ancient world. When your son was of age, when he's 30 years old, he's a grown man, you would give him part of the business. You give him responsibility. Maybe you give him responsibility of the whole farm or the whole business. Here, you're in charge now. Well, that's in a sense what God does with Adam. He puts him in the garden and says, subdue it, exercise authority, have dominion. You're in charge. In that sense, Adam was like the Son of God put in the garden to care for this world. And Adam failed. You know that. He gave in to temptation. He didn't tend and care for the world the way he should have and brought us into sin, into destruction and failure. Luke wants you to see that Jesus came to be a new Adam, a second Adam, that Jesus came to undo all the problems that the first Adam brought. Jesus came, of course, to forgive you and to love you and to pardon you and to help you and to comfort you and to take you to heaven. But More than that, Jesus came to undo all the destruction, death, sin, and despair that the first Adam brought. So, what did we see when Jesus was baptized? The heavens opened up, and God the Father spoke, and he said, "This is my beloved Son." Well, wait a minute. I thought Adam was the Son of God. Well, Adam was the Son of God. But Jesus is the Son of God in a much greater way than Adam. Jesus is like a new Adam, a better Adam. He's a Son of God in a much greater way because God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased." God was not well pleased with Adam. I mean, Adam sinned. Adam failed. God was displeased with Adam. But Jesus came to be a new Adam, a second Adam, a better Adam, a greater Son of God with whom God the Father is well pleased. And so, just like Adam represented the human race, he's the father of mankind, and when he was tempted, he represented the whole world, the whole human race. Jesus came to be a new Adam, to represent you and me, to represent all his people, to represent all everyone who trusts in him. And so, what we see in our passage this morning is that when Jesus is being tempted, and when he overcomes that temptation, he's doing it not just as an individual, but as a new Adam, a representative of his people. Jesus overcame temptation for us. So, when you're tempted, sometimes you're going to fail. Well, that's just a fact, right? Sometimes we sin, okay? Sometimes we say no to sin, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're going to fail. But eventually, you will overcome because Jesus Christ has already overcome for you. Okay? You begin with that. You begin with the confidence that Christ has overcome temptation for you. And so when you're being tempted, it's not to see whether or not you make it to heaven. You're going to heaven because your faith is in Jesus who has already overcome. And though you're going to sin and you're going to struggle and you're going to fail at times, you can trust in Christ. He has already overcome temptation. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is your prophet who's teaching you how to live the Christian life. He's your king who's leading you and fighting for you. He's your priest who's suffered for you and intercedes for you. And so you're going to grow and you're going to make progress in the Christian life because Jesus is the anointed one who's able to give you his spirit and enable you to grow. Christ has already overcome temptation for you. And that means he's going to enable you to grow and overcome temptation in your life. Secondly, you need to understand, sometimes God is going to lead you into temptation. Okay, this morning we prayed in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. Okay, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Okay? We don't want to be tempted. In fact, later on, the Apostle Paul says, flee temptation. Okay, don't go into situations where you know you're going to be tempted. But sometimes God will lead you into a situation where you're going to be tempted. Okay? It's like suffering. You don't want to suffer. You avoid suffering as much as possible. But sometimes God will allow you into a situation where you're going to suffer. Well, temptation is like that. You don't want to be tempted. You should avoid and flee temptation. But sometimes God will lead you in a situation where you're going to end up being tempted. Okay? Look at our passage. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. It's the Spirit of God who led Jesus out into the wilderness. Well, he was going to be tempted in the wilderness. And yet it's the Spirit of God who led him there. Okay? It's not wrong to be tempted. Okay? Sometimes we feel guilty when we're tempted. It's not wrong to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. It's wrong to give in to temptation. It's wrong to sin, but it's not wrong to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. The Holy Spirit led him out in the wilderness where he could be tempted. Sometimes God is going to lead you in a situation where you're going to end up being tempted. It's not wrong to be tempted. However, when God leads you into temptation, okay, it's so that you can be tested. Okay? God himself does not tempt you. We read that this morning in our call to worship. God doesn't tempt you. He does test you. What's the difference? The difference is when you tempt someone, you want them to fail. Okay? Satan, the devil, was tempting Jesus. God didn't tempt him. It was the devil tempting him. The devil tempts you. He wants you to fail. God does not tempt you. But God sometimes will test you. He will put you in the wilderness where you're going to be tested. Okay? Temptation is when someone's trying to get you to fail. Testing is when you're being put in a challenging situation for you to show what you're really made of, for you to show what you've learned and how you've grown. Okay? A good teacher, for example. A good teacher doesn't just give you a test. A good teacher teaches you. And then he or she gives you a test so that you can show what you've learned. Okay? God doesn't tempt you because he doesn't want you to sin. He doesn't want you to fail. But he will sometimes test you. He'll put you in situations where you can demonstrate what you've learned and how you've grown and what God is doing in your life. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Okay? Not to tempt him, but to test him so that Jesus could show that he's the true Son of God who is victorious over sin and temptation. Okay. So what we want to remember this morning, okay, before we even begin, you begin with the fact Jesus Christ has overcome temptation for you. Okay. You begin with faith. You begin with confidence, not in yourself. Don't be foolish, okay? We need to flee temptation because we're weak, but we have confidence in Jesus. He has overcome for us. He's going to enable you to overcome, even though at times you're going to be tested and it's going to be difficult. Okay. Now, what we see this morning is that Jesus shows you how to get ready. Right? You don't want to be caught off guard, like in those weird dreams, you know, where you all of a sudden realize you've got this big test and you haven't even been going to class and you're totally not ready. You want to be ready. Jesus shows us how to get ready, how to handle temptation, and it's by feeding on the Word of God. Okay. Look with me at verse 3. The devil says to him, the devil says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Okay, the devil says to Jesus, if you really are the new Adam, the Son of God, if you really are in charge of this whole world, then why are you out here in the desert? You know, why are you hungry like this? There's stones all over the place. Just turn one of them into something to eat. That's what the devil says. I mean, come on. If you really do have this great exalted power, this authority and this title, use it. To use your power and your ability to satisfy yourself and feel a little better and take the edge off. Turn the stone into bread. Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Well, a lot of people have commented on the fact that Jesus overcomes temptation by quoting scripture. Okay, that's very important. But notice what scripture he quotes. He says, man shall not live by bread alone. In other words, he says to the devil, there's more to life than food. Even though Jesus has not eaten in 40 days, so his body is ravished. His body is already feeding off of itself by this time. The muscles have begun to break down. He says, listen, there's more to life than food. That's why he's fasting in the first place, to focus on God and not just his own appetites. And so he says, man shall not live by bread alone. There's more to life than just food. But he doesn't quote the entire verse. Okay? The entire verse says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So when Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, He's saying there's more to life than food. He's saying to the devil, I am depending on, I'm feeding on God's word. Okay? That is how he's able to overcome temptation. Okay? That's how you can overcome temptation, by feeding on God's word. But what does that mean? We know what it means to read God's word and to listen to God's word and to study it. But what does it mean to feed God's word? Well, I want to show you this morning, because it's right here in our passage, three things I want you to see. Number one, you need to know scripture so well that it comes to mind when you're tempted. Okay? The devil appeals to Jesus' authority, his power, and his hunger, his circumstances, and says, look, you're hungry. If you're the Son of God, well, just make some food out of one of these rocks. And immediately, Jesus is able to quote scripture. I think it goes without saying, Jesus does not have a Bible with him out there in the wilderness. He doesn't have a stack of scrolls that he can look through to find the right verse. Okay? When temptation comes in your life, you don't normally have the opportunity to say, wait just a minute, I'm going to go do a Bible study. You don't usually have that freedom to say, let me go do a word study. I'll get out a concordance and listen to a sermon. When temptation comes, you have to be already ready. Okay, it's like that dream. It's like that dream where you're standing up in front of class and you look down and you're in your pajamas. There's nothing you can do at that point. That's too late. Okay, getting dressed should have happened before you came to class. Okay, or studying should have happened before you walk into the class to take the test. You know, you've got to do this in advance. You have to already know Scripture so well that when temptation comes, that verse comes to mind. The Bible comes to mind. When I was a young Christian, a new Christian, I was told that every Christian should read the Bible all the way through every year. Okay, and I know many of you do that, and that's fine. I think that's wonderful if you want to do that. The Bible doesn't actually say you have to read the whole Bible through every year. Okay, if you want to do that, we have Bible reading schedules that can kind of suggest here's what you read each day. You'd have to read about 4 chapters a day. You can do that. That's great. The Bible doesn't actually say you have to read through the whole thing every year. But it does say you need to know it so well that when temptation comes, you are ready. Okay, whether that means reading it through every year, or maybe it means just taking a passage and really, a smaller passage and really studying it. Maybe it means listening to the Bible on your phone, or when you're driving, listening to it on CDs, or listening to sermons that help you understand the Bible, or reading a good commentary or a Christian book that helps you understand the Bible. I'm not going to legislate how you do it. All those ways are helpful. In fact, it's back on the book table, a little packet you can buy with memory verses, different verses printed on index cards and key verses on different important topics in the Bible. A lot of people like to use that to memorize verses. Whether you're memorizing scripture or reading large portions or listening to sermons, the point is you need to know it so well that when temptation comes, the Bible instantly comes to mind. Okay? To feed on God's word means you know it so well that when temptation comes, it comes to mind. But secondly, feeding on Scripture means you need to understand Scripture so well that you can use it. Okay, look at verse 5. And the devil took Jesus up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. All right, we talked about this last week. Perhaps it simply means shows them the kingdoms of the world in that area at that time. Or maybe it's like a vision where he shows them all the kingdoms past, present, and future. But regardless, the devil shows Jesus all these kingdoms of the world. And he says to him, to you I'll give all this authority and their glory. For it's been delivered to me. And I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. I mean, here is Jesus at his lowest point in his life so far. I mean, he would have been very close to death. And not only has the devil tempted him with food, but now the devil tempts him with all this glory and power. He says, you can just have it. You don't need to suffer. You can just have it. All you got to do is bow down and worship me. And Jesus answered him, it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Now again, we see here that Jesus knows the Bible so well that it just instantly comes to mind, okay? But more than that, we see that he understands the Bible well enough to use it, okay? For example, the devil shows him all the kingdoms of the world, and he says, all this authority and glory has been given to me. Is that true? In some sense, it's true. Later on, the Apostle Paul will say that the devil's the prince of this world. So in one sense, what the devil says is true. The kingdoms of the world belong to him, but only because he's taken them. They don't rightfully belong to him. And Jesus knows the Bible well enough. He understands it well enough to recognize that what the devil says is only partly true. Okay? Most of the lies in the world today have some truth to them. That's what makes them appealing. That's what makes them attractive. That's why we go, oh, yeah, yeah, and it resonates with. There's usually some truth there, but often it's some truth that's been exaggerated or taken out of context. It's unbalanced. It's taken to an extreme. And so we say, yeah, yeah, and it resonates and it sounds true, but if it's only half true, it's half lie. It's half false. And you have to understand the Bible well enough to recognize when something's being taken to an extreme, when something's taken out of context, when something is out of whack or out of balance, when something isn't completely true. Not only that, notice the particular verse that Jesus quotes. He says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. That verse is from Deuteronomy. In fact, at each temptation, Jesus quotes a verse. Each time, the verse comes from the book of Deuteronomy. Each time, the verse Jesus quotes comes from a very small section of Deuteronomy. Okay, from Deuteronomy chapter 6 through Deuteronomy chapter 8. It's a little section in Deuteronomy that we call the wilderness wanderings or the wilderness temptations. Here is Jesus. He's in the wilderness. He's being tempted. Where does his mind go? He knows the Bible so well that when he's in the wilderness and he's being tempted, he immediately thinks of this portion of Scripture that is about the wilderness temptations. Okay? He knows the Bible well enough that he knows how to use it for his life. Okay? It's not enough to just memorize Scripture. It's not enough to just have Bible knowledge. We all know some people who've grown up in church and they have a certain amount of Bible knowledge. That's good. You've got to understand the Bible well enough that you can use it in your life, that you can put it into practice. So feeding on God's word means you need to know Scripture well enough that it comes to mind. You need to understand it well enough that you can use it. And you need to trust it so much that you depend upon it. Okay, look at verse 9. It says, and he took him, means the devil took Jesus, to Jerusalem, and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. So the devil takes Jesus to the highest point of the temple. Okay, and again, if you weren't with us last week, we talked about a lot of this last week, and so I'm not repeating everything we talked about from last week. Here, the devil takes Jesus to the highest point of the temple and says to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Okay, just jump off the temple. The devil says, for it's written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they'll bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Okay. So the devil takes Jesus to the highest point of the temple, and he says, just jump off, because you know what the Bible says. God will take care of you. He'll send his angels to catch you. Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Okay. Now, once again, we see that Jesus knows the Bible well enough that it comes to mind when he's being tempted. He's immediately able to quote this verse, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Okay? Secondly, Jesus understands Scripture well enough that he's able to use it. Okay? He understands that the devil is quoting Scripture out of context. He also understands that God is the one who tests us. We don't test God. God can put us into hard, awkward situations that are going to test us and grow us and prove us. We don't do that to God. We don't throw ourselves out into traffic and test God to see if he's going to save us. He understands Scripture well enough to know that God can test us. We're not to test him. Okay. But not only that, Jesus shows here that he trusts Scripture well enough that he depends on it. Okay. How did all this begin? Jesus is baptized. The heavens opened up, and God the Father said, this is my beloved Son. That's the word of God. This is my beloved Son. And so at every step in this temptation, the devil is challenging and he's attacking that word. If that's true, if what God said from heaven is true, if you are the Son of God, just throw yourself down from the temple. And what we see here is that not only is Jesus able to quote Scripture, he knows it, and he understands it, but he trusts it. He depends on it. He's based his life on it. When I was younger, again, when I first became a believer, we used to have what they call sword drills. I don't know if people do that anymore or not, but like in Sunday school, the Sunday school teacher would say, oh, Ephesians 2:5, and the sword drill was you get out your Bible, and the first one who could find that verse gets a point. Or in youth group, the youth group leader might give a topic like forgiveness, and you get a point, the first person who can think of a verse that has to do with forgiveness. And those are there's other games like that that kind of test your Bible memory and your Bible knowledge. And those can be fun and they can be helpful and they can encourage you to learn your Bible. But temptation is a lot more than just a Bible test. Temptation is more than just being able to quote a verse. You've got to know it. You've got to know the verse, but you've got to understand what it means and you've got to believe it. You've got to believe these truths. This is Jesus out in the wilderness and he's close to death. And the devil comes along and says, come on, just turn the stones into bread. It's not enough to just quote a verse. This isn't just a Bible game. He has to really believe it's true that there's more to life than just food, that what matters is feeding on the Word of God. When the devil says, in effect, you don't have to go through all this. You can have all the kingdoms of the world now. All you got to do is worship me. It's not enough to just be able to quote a verse and say, oh, worship the Lord only. Jesus has to really believe that's true. And likewise, when the devil says, throw yourself down from the temple, hey, God will catch you. It's not enough just to know what verse to quote and understand what it means, but Jesus has to really believe and depend on the fact that I can't do that. I cannot put God can test me. It's okay for God to be testing me in this way, as hard as it is, but I'm not going to put him to the test. Okay? You need to know scripture so well that it comes to mind when you're being tested and tempted. You need to understand it well enough that you can use it, but you also need to trust it so much that you depend upon it. I think of it like this. The devil did not give up easily. I mean, there was one temptation after another after another. When Jesus was physically at his weakest point. And yet, Jesus doesn't give up and he doesn't give in because he so believes and trusts in the truth of God's word. To feed on God's word is to depend on it the way we normally depend on food. To trust it so much that you base your life on it so that when temptation comes along, you don't believe the lie. But you know these things are true and you based your life upon it. You depend upon it. Our passage ends, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Temptation can come at when you least expect it. Okay? Because in Christian life, you have high moments and lows. Jesus is baptized. The heavens opened up. God says, this is my beloved son with whom I'm well pleased. This is a high point to have God say that he's well pleased with you in front of everybody. And then immediately, Jesus is led in the desert alone to fast and be tempted by the devil. That's got to be a low point. Okay, the Christian life has high points and then low points and then high points and then low points. And you never know when temptation might come right around the corner. It says that when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Well, we know, for example, this wasn't the end, that later on, at a high point, at the Passover meal, I mean, that's the great holy day of the Jewish calendar when Jesus is sitting with his disciples, the devil enters into Judas and tempts Judas to go and betray Jesus. I mean, temptation doesn't just come at low points in life when you're under a lot of stress. It also happens that temptation can happen at high points when everything seems to be going well. You never know when temptation might come. And you want to be ready. You cannot wait till temptation comes. You've got to get ready now. You've got to feed on God's word now so that when that temptation comes, you know the scripture well enough that it comes to mind. You understand how to use it. And you trust enough that you're already depending on it. The devil tempts Judas to betray Jesus. And if this was a difficult test, how much more to have your own friends desert you to be accused of blasphemy, to be beaten and flogged. And remember, Jesus said he could call down legions of angels to help him. Just like in this passage, he could have turned these stones into bread. How much more when he's being beaten and mocked, he could have called down legions of angels to save him. But think about the discipline and the self-control that it would take to allow this to happen, to carry his own cross, to allow them to nail him to a cross, because he was depending on the word of God. Remember later, after his resurrection on the road to Emmaus, Jesus explained from the Old Testament, he says, you know that from Moses and all the prophets, it's necessary that the Son of Man should be betrayed and suffer and be given over and die and rise again. So what kind of, think of this, the testing that would have been to be betrayed by your friends and being faced with death on a cross. And yet Jesus, in that moment of temptation, is depending on the fact that his Father has promised to raise him up again. And so Jesus submits to his Father's will, and he goes to the cross because he's trusting. He's been feeding on the word of God, and he's trusting that he can even go to the grave, and his good Father is going to raise him up again. Okay. Now, you too can face temptation, and you can overcome it. Okay, you're going to struggle. We all struggle. You're going to fail sometime. But Jesus is risen. He is triumphant. Okay, he's the Lord. He's the Christ. He's your King. He's fighting for you when you're tempted. He's your prophet. He's teaching you how to grow. He's your priest. He's interceding for you. And he pours out his Spirit upon you. So you can overcome temptation. If you do so, remembering Christ has overcome for you. You feed on God's word. You feed on God's word so that when temptation comes, you know it enough, it comes to mind, you understand it well enough to use it, and you trust it enough that you're depending upon it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we've all been on the wrong end of temptation. We've all failed, fallen, sinned. We've all done things that we're ashamed of. Lord, we've all been under far less difficult temptation that Jesus went through, and how we have disgraced ourselves and dishonored you. And yet, in your mercy, you have mastered temptation. You have mastered the problems of the human heart. You have risen for us. And you are growing us, and you are teaching us, and you are leading us, and we can face the future, and we can face times of testing and trial in confidence and courage. Not because we're strong, but because you are so strong and you're so victorious. Lord, help us to know your word. Help us to get in it and feed on it. Help us to get your word inside of us. Grow us, Lord, and prepare us so that we might be faithful and obedient during times of testing. Lord, this is our prayer. We pray this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.